You just saw the hockey. Did you see the hockey trial? And the man who got manslaughter and for beating up this other man, the man's father, who lost his son to the brutality of this particular man, put his arm around the man and said, "I forgive you. I forgive you." There's never any peace unless you do. Because if you have that hatred and you carry it around with you for the rest of your life, you can't justify a resentment. It's like a snake bite. The bite doesn't kill you, and you can't be unbitten. It's the venom that continues to pour after the bite that is deadly. You have a choice about the venom that continues to pour after you've been bitten. You can't be unbitten, but you certainly don't have to have the venom.
Again, I understand forgiveness, but you say forgiveness has to come from the heart, and I agree with that. But if you feel so hurt over something, how do you get that forgiveness how do you feel it in your heart? I can say it, I can articulate it, but I don't always have that feeling that I'm really doing it.
Our feelings come from our thoughts. And you just think it enough until the feeling energy begins to materialize for you. You think it enough. You just keep thinking it. And eventually you will feel what you are thinking. That's why I tell people who are trying to do anything that is difficult, just keep saying it over and over again.
I'd like to share something to you and some other folks have said something or asked questions. I'm in recovery from addiction. And we know that we aren't allowed the luxury of justified resentments because they kill. And early on, I was taught to get rid of them, to pray for the people I had resentments towards. And that's the absolute last thing that I wanted to do. And the people who suggested this to me told me, you don't have to really mean it. That just get on your knees and pray for these people to have everything that you want for yourself. And I am here to tell everybody in this room that the act of doing that releases the anger, releases the resentment, and the emotions would turn to neutral and then even to love. And when you asked, do you really have to mean it? For me, I did not have to mean it. But by doing it, I eventually did mean it.
It's a very good point. It can be summarized with fake it until you make it. We're going to do the last three principles today, but I want to have a ceremony here this morning. Anyway, there's a gentleman that's been here with us who, his name is John, he's standing right next to me, many of you I'm sure have met, who has a severe disability and was told certain things that he would never be able to do. And it really fits in with this very first principle today. So this eighth principle is called treat yourself as if you already are what you would like to become. One of the most important things I think you can learn in life, and particularly for young people just starting out in life. But it's important for all of us. And I think that's something that John has done. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to John. He's going to do a little performance here for us for the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll get started.
Good morning. It's a thrill to be here. This is a 24-year process for me to be here in this room with you. When I was 4, I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, which, if you don't know, is a chronic pulmonary disease. To this day, it's the number one genetic killer of young children in this country. About 30,000 Americans have it. And at that time, when I was 4, unbeknownst to me, the doctor said, well, he's going to live to about 12. So if you would just go out and just love him and embrace him and just push him, we'll see how far he can go. And so mom and dad, with that instruction, put me on a soccer field thinking running was a really good thing, and put me in a swimming pool because swimming was a really good thing. And I had this idea that I wanted to play drums, and the doctor said, well, why don't we try trumpet and see if that happens? And so I started playing trumpet in about third grade, and this disease that was supposed to take my life for some reason stayed dormant, and it was a true gift. That out of the 700 genotypes of cystic fibrosis that there are, and I have the worst of that, that the pulmonary restriction stayed absolutely dormant. And so I ran And I swam, and I played, and I sang, and I was fortunate enough to excel in most of those things, and life seemed pretty good. And at 12 years old, Mom and Dad thought, well, let's just keep pushing him, and so just competition after competition after competition.